are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Good morning, church. Hey, it is good to be with you. My name is Scott, and man, I just get to be here with you. My family and I, we've been worshiping here for almost 2 years, I think. And yeah, it's just a joy to kind of have been tapped for a couple weeks to say, hey, let's look at this idea in the series that we're in called Show Up, where at first we started looking about how God has shown up to us. And that was fun to look at and to see, honestly, how that thread, like in the first week where we talked about how God shows up to us, how that thread has woven through this entire series as we've talked about showing up in community and in connection with people, about being fully known and outrageously supported. About last week, we talked about showing up to grow and how when we seek God in his word, that he shows up to us. If you weren't here last week, we ended with kind of this challenge where we just sat for a few minutes and just baked on this idea of asking God, where does he want us to show up in our growth? Like, what does he want us to do? And I hope this was a fruitful week for you as you showed up to just do the things that God asked you to do, the simple repeated things over and over and over that he wants us to do to bring about healing in our lives. And so today is another kind of look into the scriptures about showing up, about what does it mean to show up for those that are coming behind us? Whether that's a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, for some of you, more than that. Let's just leave it at that. But the people that are coming behind us. And before you think, oh, this message isn't for me, if you're 10, 15, 13, 14 years old, there are people, I don't know, okay, yes, you're like, not me. There are kids younger than you that look up to you. And you have an opportunity to invest in them. And if you are more seasoned in life, let's just say with more experience, you also have opportunities to show up to the people that come behind you. So we're gonna just dig through a story today in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, one of the things I love about this church is we've got Bibles for you. So if you wanna grab one when you leave today, a guy walked out this morning and was like, hey, I don't have a Bible. And I love it. Matt and the whole Connection crew, they were like, well, here you go. Here's a Bible, and you know, connect them with it. So grab your Bible, put it on your phone or whatever. We're gonna be in 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the Old Testament is where we're headed today, looking at this text in the scriptures about showing up. So we're going to start with this. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy, Samuel, ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. The text starts to reveal the characters that we're gonna look at first, Samuel and Eli. Let's take a look first at Eli. Eli was a priest in the Old Testament. He, let's just say, he had responsibilities and authority that he didn't always take so seriously as a priest. He had his flaws, he had his stuff. You know, I think I referenced this book when we were talking about community. There's a great book by John Ortberg. It's titled, Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Him, right? Everybody's normal until you get to know him. Eli was a priest that was like, oh, he's a priest. And then you start to get to know him and you're like, oh, okay, he had some stuff. He had two kids, Hophni and Phinehas. Cool names. Those were in the running when we were having our first boy. They were in the running for me, not my wife. She wasn't a fan of those names. And then when you read about Hophni and Phinehas, I submitted and I was like, okay, yeah, because these were not the best kids. They were Eli's kids, but they were making some really horrible choices under Eli's, like right under his nose. And Eli even called them out on it and they were like, yeah, whatever, dad. And they continued in their way. So Eli had his stuff, but he continued to be God's priest and ministered for the Lord. Samuel, who's going to be kind of the key figure in this story with Eli. Samuel's got an interesting story. Samuel was a gift from God to his mom. Like there was this unique set of events that brought Samuel about. And then Samuel's mom, as a way of honoring the Lord, said, Samuel, I want you to be raised in God's house under the authority of someone who may be a priest. So she basically farmed out Samuel to Eli and said, would you help him nurture and grow in the ways of the Lord? There was no social media at the time, so she didn't know what his kids were doing. So she had flipped her kid to him, not knowing what his kids were up to. It's interesting how that all worked. But that's where we find ourselves. That's Samuel and Eli in their relationship. And that was kind of a normal thing. There would be kids that were growing under the authority of someone in the church. So that's the backdrop. Verse 2, one night, Eli, he was the priest, Eli's, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So there's a couple things here. So Eli is old, and the text tells us like he was so old. How old was he? Thank you very much for playing along. I was waiting, right? He was so old. The text tells us like his eyes were fading. Like he had his favorite lazy boy recliner. There he is. He's in his lazy boy. He'd fallen asleep, right? In his usual place, they tell us, like the remote still in his hand, like, you know, the TV's on, like he'd fallen asleep. That's how old he was. It's the middle of the night. Samuel, now this is interesting. Samuel was also there. Samuel was camped out, probably on a cot, or maybe like he just thrown out a blanket. And Samuel is in the tabernacle next to the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you've seen Indiana Jones, that's not a place that you usually want to go to sleep. Somebody comes in and opens it, it's bad for everybody, right? So like he's there next to the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. That's the setting that all of this starts to take place. What's interesting about this, to me, Eli is there completely asleep. He's completely asleep. The text says that he's blind and in his old age. Why is this guy being picked then? Why is he in this story? Here's a thought. There may be some of you in this room that think, this is great. This is a sermon for someone else. Because I don't know why we're talking about this next generation. Oh, I know where this is going. They need volunteers to sign up for MP Kids. They need volunteers to take kids to Momentum in a couple weeks, right? To youth camp. I know this is going. That's not where this is going. Although they would probably want me to say, if that's something you do feel stirred to do, go ahead and do that. But here's a thought. God's still using Eli, even though he's really old, partly blind, can't stay awake. God's using him. Oh, by the way, he screwed up his own kids. There's this prophecy against him that the Lord had already told him, but God's still using him. Here's the crazy thing, you guys. We all have stars, and we all have stars and scars that God can use. I need you to hear this. Every single one of us, we have stars and we have scars that God can use and wants to use. And we all have them. We're all normal until you get to know us. But God wants to use those. Years ago, one of the first like full-time ministry jobs that I got, I had an office that I actually had to build my own office, and I was working at this camp, and we had a bunch of high school and college kids there, and I just wanted to invest in these kids, and I wanted to turn them loose. And I found this poster, and I think I liked it because I had a picture of a golf hole on it, but there was this really cool saying underneath on the bottom of the poster, and it said this: we make way for those who push past us. And that became something over the course of those summers that I realized as I was working with these college kids that and high school kids, I was like, I just need to invest in them because they're gonna push past me. They're gonna go do greater things than me. And we make way for those who push past us. I love that principle. And you see it in this story of Eli and Samuel. Let me ask you this. Who has invested in you? Somebody took a chance on you at some point. Someone spoke something into you. Someone said something to you. Someone invested in you, sent you to camp, took you to camp, was your camp counselor, was a teacher. Someone has done that for you. Who was that? Just think about that. And what's God asking us to do? Because someone did that for Eli, and then Eli is making his own choices, and his own kids are all over the place. But then this lady comes and said, would you nurture my kid? He's like, yeah, okay, I guess. And now he finds himself, Samuel is living in the apartment next to him, and there's the Ark of the Covenant, and he's got his responsibility. So what happens next? The Lord then, the middle of the night, verse 4, the Lord calls to Samuel. Samuel answered. He hears something and he's like, here I am. And then he runs to Eli and he says, here I am. You called me? But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. The Lord called Samuel. And Samuel didn't recognize it. Eli didn't recognize it. Is it possible? Is it possible? Here's just a hypothesis. Is it possible that there are kids, students, little ones, kids in their 20s, college students, that there are people in our surrounding, in your orbit, just a little bit younger than you, a little less mature than you, regardless of your age, whether you're seasoned or whether you're 10, 11, 12 years old, is it possible that there are those around you that don't have the experience with God that you have and they need someone to walk you through it, walk them through it, and maybe you're that person. So there's this first call where Samuel hears God, and verse 6 tells us, again, the Lord called, hey, Samuel. And Samuel gets up and he goes and he went to Eli and he says, here I am, you called me, right? Eli says, my son, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. That's the second time. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I love this because the text could have just told us three times this happened. But they sneak in this little verse that says, the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I do believe that there are those that the Lord has not yet been revealed to them. And they are in our orbit. They are in our influence. They are our neighbors. They are our nieces, our nephews, our own kids, our grandkids, our neighbors, kids in our class, students, kids who are in your class, college students, your roommate's cousin, your neighbor. I believe there are people in our orbit. They got places in our orbit, in our homes, where they just need someone to explain to them what God is doing. And God is calling them. You see, I'm like you. I watch the news. I see stuff on social media. I see stuff about, kids, whether they're little kids and college students and young adults making crazy choices. And I see the stuff that's out there. And there are times where it feels like it's just dark. My classroom, like I teach here 4 periods a day. My classroom is out this doorway and to the right. Like there are days when even I scratch my head and go, it's dark. But I have some good, awesome, amazing news. It feels like the candle has gone out. It feels like the candle of the Lord has gone out. You see, that the story opens with this, that they're in the dark, there's a menorah inside the Holy of Holies. There's this light that they light at the end of the night at sunset, and all these candles burn down over through the night so that by the morning when the sun comes up, the final candle is just going out. But this text starts with this phrase, The light of the Lord had not gone out. Folks, I have got good news for you. The light of the Lord has not gone out on the next generation. Is that exciting to anyone at all? The light of the Lord has not gone out. Let me give you a thought, a couple things that I get to see. What was it, like a couple of years ago, we got a text from my son's girlfriend. She's a student at Auburn. And late at night, we start getting these texts from him and her. And, you know, I'm looking at it. I'm not going blind, but I needed my glasses to look at it. And I'm looking at this late at night. I'm like, what am I seeing? I'm seeing a pond. I'm seeing like headlights. And then as I zoom in on the picture and start flipping through the pictures, she's a student at Auburn. And there had been someone who'd come to Auburn, held a couple of gatherings, there are these worship nights, and then all of a sudden they're at the University of Auburn in Alabama, and there are hundreds of kids at a non-Jesus university in a public pond at Auburn, all out there being baptized late at night because the candle of the Lord, the light of God, is not going out. It hasn't gone out. That movement happened over the course of a bunch of different campuses, and we started seeing that pop up in lots of different places. If you were here, we did a 24-hour, there was this 24-hour thing where a bunch of churches globally, like we just worshiped the Lord for 24 hours. And some of you were here the night we hosted it here. It was amazing. It was so cool. But everybody came in, it's late at night. I'm in my 50s and I was like, really? We're getting started at like 9:30? Like, seriously? Like, okay, I guess I'll worship with people around the world, but like, come on. Like, you know, so they were hitting every time zone, right? And so we're all in here and there's like, I don't know, 150, 200 of us, and we're in here, and it was cool. But you know, us older folks, we're just kind of watching. And if you've ever been to one of those simulcast events, there's always this awkward moment where, you know, we had the screen and people are worshiping on the screen. And there's always this moment where you're like, do we sing? Do we clap? Like, what do we do? Like, how does this go? You know? And so we're kind of getting into it, kind of not. And all the people my age and a little bit older, we're going, okay, we'll play along. We'll play nice. But there were about 30 to 40 of them that were in the room that were these college students, maybe 20s, late 20s. They were sitting right back there in that band where you guys are at. And as the worship started to happen and we get like the second song in, something happened. I watched as a group of folks who were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who had planned this event and prayed for it and led the event, and they had invited all these other folks. I watched something happen over about 5 minutes. The leadership went from the group of people that planned the event to the 20 and young folks in the room started to lead worship, and they began to lead this event as they ushered us into a place of worship. I watched it flip, and if you were in the room, you felt it, you saw it. It was unbelievable. And I realized we make way for those who push past us. That's what happened. And someone just needs to tell them. Someone needs to come alongside and give them permission. Somebody's just got to pave the way. Somebody's got to set them up to win. Eli, he's asleep and he's like, oh, just go back to bed. The third time, the text says, verse 8, a third time the Lord calls to Samuel, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am. You called me, wakes him up a third time. You called me? Eli then realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli's wisdom kicks in. He was like, hey, okay, all right, hold on. I got it now. I'm awake. I know what this is. Eli realized it was the Lord, and Eli tells Samuel, look, go and lie down, and if he calls you, here's what I want you to do. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So, the text says, Samuel went, and he laid down in his place. What would that be like? Right? Your mentor says, oh, hey, that was actually the Lord. So just go lay back down and go to sleep. Okay. I picture him like laying there like one eye, okay. And then something really cool happens. The Lord came. And we don't have time to explore this, and I didn't even dig into it much this week, but it says, the Lord came and stood there. The Lord came and stood there. Not like the Lord whispered again, not like the Lord talked again. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel stands up and he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I believe, because of things that I'm seeing and I'm aware of, like just with my own kids and in our own community, I believe that there are students in our orbit, kids, young kids in every one of our orbits, all of us. They just need someone to come alongside and borrow some maturity from and allow us to just set them up, not so that we can teach them, but so they can hear the Lord. So that they can hear from the Lord himself. Honestly, I want them hearing from him because we are gonna screw this up. They need to hear from him. We just need to teach them how to listen to him. Because when he finally found himself in a position to know who it was, he didn't get up and then go say, Eli, it's there again. What is it? Can you tell me? Eli was smart enough to say, here. What if he was even saying, do something that I was unwilling to do. Do what even I was unwilling to do. Let me just tell you, learn from my mistakes. Learn from my scars. My kids are whacked out. Learn from me. When God calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. Samuel says that. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the Lord then says to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. Oh, like, what is that? Like, what? You know, what do you mean make their ears tingle? The whole chapter 3 starts with this, that God had been silent for a long time. God had been silent. People were wondering, is he real? Is this thing, you know, what is this? And the Lord speaks to Samuel and he says, I'm gonna use you. I'm gonna use you to turn up the volume so people hear about me and know who I am. I think if we will say to the Lord, Lord, here I am, use me. I think he will get other people's attention through us. I know this because I see it. I saw it this week. This week I was here at the school. I was doing some stuff, and a buddy of mine was like, "Hey, Agatas is out at the soccer fields, right?" So Ryan and Nina are over here, and they're like, "Agatas is out here, and it's really hot." And so they called the fire department, and the fire department, you know, because the kids are hot and they stink, the fire department is going to go out, and they're just going to hose all these kids down. And so I love it. The fire department showed up, like, you know. They didn't use the big nozzle. They didn't knock the kids over, but they did use like the one that got the kids all wet. And the kids were like, ah, that was amazing. And we had just missed it. Like we got out there just a second after it happened, but there was water everywhere and the kids were smiling and laughing. And we just walked around for a few minutes watching what was going on. And it was absolutely amazing. Ryan, I'm gonna put you on the spot because it's not gonna bother you. Average age of students volunteering at Agatas Camp. They're volunteers, average age. 14 to 18 year olds, the average age of them investing in kids that are younger than them, average age of the kids at the camp that are attending. I'm just gonna say that out loud so everybody can hear and start sweating. 400 kindergarten through eighth graders. And the people investing in them are average age of 14 to 18. And they're sharing about Jesus and they're telling them about Jesus. It was so fun. Like we walked in, Ryan and Nina didn't know we were coming. We just walked in and say, hey, and you know, we were having fun. And all of a sudden kids start coming up to Ryan and they're like, hey, I need to tell you something my counselor did. And they were giving like, essentially like praise reports on their counselors. They were bragging. What do you guys call it when they? So
counselor of the day.
Counselor of the day. They're nominating their counselor for counselor of the day. And they're saying all these amazing things that these 14, 15, 16-year-old kids had done for them in kindergarten through eighth grade. It's working. The lamp of the Lord has not gone out. It's working. And we can either sit back and snipe it, or we can pour gas on a fire. We've got two options.
Well, but I can't.
Yeah, okay. These other kids are doing it. Let's pour onto that. I watched my son and his girlfriend, now his fiance, they'd gone to this conference in Atlanta, Georgia. We were watching it then online. They posted a lot of it online. And this guy stood up, they were halfway through the conference, and they showed this cool video about taking the word of God to the ends of the earth. Like, hey, we want to make sure that everyone everywhere gets a copy of the word of God. And so they brought this guy out and he was talking about Bible translation, and he was saying, hey, here's what we need to do to get the Bible translated in all these languages. And they threw out this goal and they said, we've just got this goal. We want to make sure everybody gets it. And so we've got a goal to, you know, over the course of the next several months to raise $1 million, you know, to get these, you know, translated into these particular languages and then printed and distributed to these villages. And he said, so if you want to be a part of that, and it's the Georgia Arena where the Bulldogs play or somebody, I don't know, it's a big, big venue. It was the Mercedes place. That's where it was. Yeah. Not the dealership, like the arena. So they're in that dome, Georgia Dome, that's what it is. Not that any of that matters. You got all of these people there and they're like, hey, so we're just going to put this thing up on the screen. And if you want to help us with that goal, why don't you just jump right in? The band's going to play. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we're just going to see what we did. And then they just put a counter on it, right? There was just a little ticker and this thing's keeping track of donated money. And we're sitting in our living room in Warsaw watching the Georgia Dome and with all the numbers on the screen, we're just hearing the band play. And I was like, babe, come here. You got to see this. Look at this. And that number starts to grow. And then the band's like they're like getting in. And then the guy was like, hey, we're not sure if this is a glitch or what's happening, but the counter's having trouble keeping up. And so da da da. And in 10 minutes, they raised $1.2 million to get the word of God into the hands of people around the world. Yes, you can clap for that because they're all like 20 sums. Now, some of you in this room are super smart and you've got a lot of experience in life, and I know where your head is going because mine went there too. You're like, some of these kids shouldn't have a credit card and they're going into debt and they're spending money. They haven't even paid off their college loans. And let me just say this, you're part of the problem. Because these kids got fired up about getting the word of God to people who don't know Jesus. Do I think they should be responsible with their money? Yes. Whose responsibility is to teach them what to do with that? That's ours. See how this works? We make way for those who push past us. And we sat and watched that. We're like, this is unbelievable. How do we become a part of this? So I'm watching 14 to 18-year-olds serving. I'm watching college students catch on fire. I'm telling you, the lamp, the light of the Lord is not gone out. It's ours to steward. It's ours to pour gas on a fire. Because here's the word that Samuel got. I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. I want to be a part of that. That's what I want to be a part of. Now, like all good Bible stories, there's also another thing that comes with this because Samuel's like, yeah, that's awesome. You're going to use me, and that's great. And then God also says to Samuel, and when that happens, I'm also going to carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. I told him I would judge his family forever and that his sons who were bad news are gonna die one day on the exact same day. And this is how you know that I'm God and I need you to tell him that. If I'm Samuel, I'm like, can we go back to the ear tingling part first? Like, I like that part. You see, here's the thing. The task that this next generation has, the folks that are coming behind us, it is not easy. It is not easy. Think about the stress that you grew up with. If you are over 40, you'd never heard of a school shooting. That didn't happen. Think about the stress that they're growing up with. Think about, and again, this isn't just like, oh, let's go down the list, but think about smartphones and pornography and the exposure that kids have and all, like, just think about all of it. Folks, they need godly wisdom to get in the race with them, not to just stand up in the stands and go, you'll be all right, you got this. They need us in there with them because it's not gonna be easy. I would just offer this. I think there are three things that we can do. I think there are three ways that we can invest today. Even just as a church, as individuals, I think there are three things that we can do. And the first one is this. I think the first thing that we can do is just simply model it. I think we can simply just model what it means to surrender our lives to the Lord. And think about this. How hard is that? Just live lives that are righteous and holy. Just keep it on the rails. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. Are we gonna collect some bad stories and some poor decisions? Yes, we are. But what if we just let them into our lives and just let them peek behind the curtain and let them see how we navigate poor choices? What if we're vulnerable and real and honest, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, show up with our vulnerability even to this next generation? And what if we share with them all of that and just live our lives and model for them what it means to follow the Lord? Let's go back to last week. Repeatedly, consistently modeling obedience to the Lord over time. Consistently modeling obedience over time to the next generation. What if they just saw us doing that and we modeled it? How hard is that? Well, I mean, it is hard at times, but what if we just did that? It was funny, all of our kids were at camp last week. I think I said that, but one of my kids was in a role that said they were a CIT, a counselor in training. And somebody was asking them, so what did you do every day? And they went through their day. And one of the things she added, she said, and then every night, she said, because the counselors were with the kids and then the directors were doing their thing over here, every night I would just go sit where the directors were and I would just sit in the room and just listen to them talk about what it was like to be a director and all the things that they were dealing with and managing during the week. And I thought, wow, they're just modeling. They weren't doing this crazy thing over the top. They're just living it out in front of her. And there she is just sitting, listening, taking it all in. What if we just modeled it? Just keep it on the rails. And when we make mistakes, be honest about it, ask for forgiveness, let them into it, and then help them move on. Because they're gonna drive off the rails on occasion too. They just need to see that they're gonna be okay. So step one is we model it. The second thing that we can do is we can take it one more very intentional step and we can do this. We can offer mentoring. Now that's kind of a buzzword in some circles, like, oh, so we now have a formal mentoring process. No, we just look at whoever is in our orbit, in our circle of influence, and we come alongside and we're intentional with the time that we have. What do we do with those conversations? And we mentor. We just strategically pour in where it's appropriate at the right time, where we get that little nudge from the Lord, like, hey, maybe this is something you can do. Maybe this is something you can do. Maybe you can take this person, maybe that kid that's in your orbit, that person, again, whether you're 14 years old, right? And you're at Agatas camp, like you say, hey, we're all gonna go get popsicles. You come with me, and you grab them. Now on the way, you have a conversation about something while you're going to grab a popsicle. For others of us, like, we're in a different spot. We're not going to get popsicles. We're going on a road trip. Like, hey, you wanna go with us on vacation? We grab them, we scoop them up, and we give them a different picture, and we provide an opportunity, put them in an incubator where we get to speak life and truth into them. I don't know what that looks like. And you're like, well, then I don't really have, there's not that next generation, not those people in my orbit. I don't even know who you're talking about. Well, then here's the thing. Write checks. If you don't have people in your, you don't have any of them, then grab your checkbook and write the check for people that do. Because those people need it. Those people need your checkbook to be able to minister to those other people and to do that. That's how that works, right? We are all gifted. Some of you have been plagued with finances, and that's just your plague, okay? Share the plague, do it. Because other people need it so that they can do that. We all have a part that we can play. We can model it, we can mentor, we can empower mentoring, but we all have a responsibility. And I believe this is a responsibility we get directly out of Deuteronomy 6 in the Bible. It says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and impress these things upon your children as you walk along the road, as you lie down, as you get up. That was both a command to parents. It's used a lot when we talked about parenting. We read it up here when we do child dedications. It was also a universal, it was spoken to the nation of Israel. You, as the nation of Israel, impress these things upon your children. It was something we get universally. And that is to multiply, to model it, keep it on the rails, to mentor, to be very intentional, and then to sow that into the next generation. And we all have a part to play in that. I got to do this first service, and I don't see either of them in here right now, so I'll talk about them behind their back in a good way. I love what Rick and Jen Neer are doing in this church with MP kids and MP students. I love what they're doing. Ask them to tell you stories of how the light of the Lord is not going out. Grab Ryan and Nina. Ask them to tell you stories about how the light of the Lord is not going out. But we have a responsibility. We make way for those who push past us. The irony wasn't lost on me when I walked away after watching you two with Agatas. Ryan, you were a small group leader for me years ago when we were doing stuff downtown. Nina, you were in my youth group. You're still 14 years old in my mind, and you've got your own 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids. We make way for those who push past us. This isn't about what I do and get to do. It's what all of us have the responsibility to do for those that are coming behind us. So here's how we're gonna end this morning. We're gonna end with the song that's actually called The Blessing. The song is rooted in a Bible verse that a friend of mine would pray over his kids every night when they were little. And when they were older and went to college, when they would leave the house, they wouldn't leave the house, go on a road trip without him saying this blessing over them. This is a blessing straight from the Word of God. It's for us to bless the next generation. But maybe while we sing this, something will be stirred in your heart, and the Lord will give you a picture of your role with those that are coming behind us, regardless of your age, if you're 14 or a lot older than that. We all have a role to play. So go ahead and stand with me, and I'm gonna pray that the Lord will just give us that image and that picture of what he wants us to do with that. God, thank you for, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Elis that have spoken into every one of our lives here. I've got my list. Lord, thank you for Steve and Kurt, Denny, Thank you for Sister McAllister, Preach Fredericks. Thank you for all those people that have spoken into me, and Lord, for those that have spoken into so many others in this room. Lord, help us to be those people. Help us to be a group of people that models, that mentors, and multiplies into others' lives. So Lord, as we sing this blessing, as we pray this, we do pray this over the next generation, but Lord, speak to us even as we sing this. Speak to us and reveal to us the role that we have. Our hearts are open, Lord.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.